Hello and welcome to Sharp China. I'm Andrew Sharp, and you are listening to a free preview of today's episode.
You know, they see what the U.S. and the other allies did to Russia, and it's a roadmap for how they might unfold against China. And so China, again, has been very focused on trying to reduce that vulnerability so that they have as much flexibility as they can have when they come to potentially make decisions that would cause all sorts of challenges in the relationship with the U.S. and other countries in the U.S. orbit, so to speak.
Yeah, well, and in the context of the U.S.-China relationship, there have been various sanction-type levers pulled over the last 5 or 6 years, but it seems like this would be a meaningful escalation in terms of...
It would be a very significant escalation, and in many ways it would be, especially if they were to go after one of the major banks. In some ways, I think it would be even more escalatory than or more have a more significant impact than the October 7th tech controls and then the updated controls.
Right. And in the past, the levers have not necessarily deterred the PRC from various behaviors that the U.S. finds problematic. I mean, part of my reaction to the reporting that Blinken is going to be delivering this warning to the Chinese officials that he's meeting with this week is, okay, it's great that they're warning the PRC about supporting Russia, but this has been going on for years. And there have also been previous warnings from the Biden administration. So why is this all that different? I mean, is this like double secret probation for the PRC?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, at some point, you know, you got to stop sort of, we're going to threaten. And then, you know, okay, you pinky promise, we're going to do stuff differently. I think what you're seeing, though, there's been reporting, it's been in the Russian media, and I picked up in some smaller outlets, I think, where Russian companies are complaining about it's getting harder to process payments through some Chinese banks. So Chinese banks are getting more careful. Mm. And I mean, the Chinese banks themselves do not want to be sanctioned. And so they actually are actually pretty careful, the big banks.
Okay.
And so ultimately, though, I mean, the problem, I think, if you step back and you look at it in sort of either from the Chinese perspective or third party, it seems like all the U.S. does is like threaten and, you know, sanction.
Right. Well, and what you're describing sounds like mutually assured economic calamity if the U.S. were to go this direction. And calamity may be overstating it, but it sounds like this would be disruptive to the global financial system and could hurt the U.S. economy at a time when the Biden administration definitely doesn't want to hurt the U.S. economy.
And well, that's right. I mean, it's election year. I also think, again, not knowing any details about this, whatever sanctions are, I will guess that if the U.S. were to do it, they would be something small and very targeted, like back in 2005, they went after this bank in Macau called Banco Delta Asia over North Korean, sort of as part of sanctions around North Korea. Where got the attention, had some effect, was not systemically important, angered the Chinese, but at the same time, and the North Koreans and obviously Macau, but at the same time, didn't really cause a lot of collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, though, is to have all this, you know, huffing and puffing and then go in and do some small scale thing, symbolic. At this point, it's sort of like we're beyond symbolism. And so we'll see if that actually would work, even if they did it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's something I was reminded of last week where we were talking about Iran and the U.S. reluctance to sanction Chinese banks who are aiding in the purchase of oil from Iran. There's an asymmetry that we come back to on topic after topic with respect to the U.S. ability to respond strategically, because we've talked about in the private sector, companies still have quarterly earnings and the private markets to worry about. So they're reluctant to pull out of China unless they're absolutely forced to. And then in the public sector, there are elections to worry about. So Biden sanctioning companies purchasing oil from Iran will drive up the oil markets and complicate his life politically. And then you've got leaders like Xi and Putin that can just act and disregard the consequences, short term at least. And the U.S. is just far less efficient in what the government or any companies can do, at least in the short term. And so if the U.S. really wanted to send a message here, that could be done, but it just doesn't seem like it's something that the U.S. is actually going to do.
Well, it would be a big escalation, and it would have a lot of collateral damage, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, the Chinese have, again, these are not new issues for the Chinese. They've been trying for a long time to build up their own payment system outside of SWIFT. It's called CHIPS, or the cross-border interbank payment system.
Okay.
It still isn't good enough. The Chinese can't, you know, they just can't quit yet in terms of reliance on the Western financial architecture. They also, you know, some amount of sanctions, even if they were small and targeted, would probably scare more foreign investors away. U.S. and sort of more countries in, you know, allied countries would probably be less likely to put more money in China, maybe buy, you know, stop buying Chinese government debt, which, I mean, all these things that China is trying to do to attract more foreign investment, more foreign capital. And so I think ultimately, I would guess that the Biden administration hope is, you know, they've been ratcheting up these warnings for quite some time. You know, we talked about it on some of the prior podcasts, how they started using this term, rebuilding the Russian defense industrial base.
Right.
And you know, and this is sort of, they've been building towards this. And so I think the attitude in the administration is basically, we've been telling you this for a long time. We keep warning you. We keep seeing more things happening. So here's what we're going to do if you don't stop. And, you know, we'll see if that really, if the Chinese really listen. I think, you know, on the one hand, 2 weeks ago, maybe the Chinese would have been in a position to think, well, okay, the Russians are turning the tide a little bit. Maybe we can ease off a little bit. Now with this, you know, about to pass package of more aid from Ukraine, from the US, you know, Russia may need more help.
Right.
And she doesn't want, and the Chinese, she especially does not want Russia and Putin to lose.
Yeah. And just to clarify, in terms of disruptions to the global financial system, what would that look like as far as disruptions to the U.S. economy and implications for Biden's reelection this fall?
It's a great question. And I'm not sure that I have, you know, I think people have modeled it out, but I think you would see potential problems in the treasury markets is one of the concerns.
Okay.
You could also just see basically if all of a sudden it looks like the U.S. and China are in a financial war, you could certainly see some potential sell-offs. You could see, you know, it's one of those things where some people have can sort of think about how it might play out, but you can't be 100% sure. And so because of all the different linkages, and so it just adds a whole bunch of risk and uncertainty into what already looks sort of not like a great economy.
Yeah. Okay.
Globally. I mean, here we're back, but the Chinese have to be better. I mean, it would hurt the Chinese economy, right? I mean, this is the thing. It's a sort of all, it's like a mutual, I don't think it would help either side. The question is who gets hurt worse, and it may turn out that the Chinese side gets hurt worse.
Okay. Yeah. No, and it sounds like just a giant wild card to throw into the mix over the next 6 months or so.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the Treasury Department officials and other administrations have also been fairly hesitant to push really hard on this because of those concerns.
All right. And that is the end of the free preview. If you'd like to hear the rest of today's conversation and get access to full episodes of Sharp China each week, you can go to your show notes and subscribe to either Bill's newsletter, Cynicism, or the Stratechery Bundle, which includes several other podcasts from me and daily writing from my friend Ben Thompson. I'm an incredibly biased news consumer, so I think both are indispensable resources. But either way, Bill and I are going to be here every week talking all things China, and we would love to have you on board. So check out your show notes, subscribe, and we will talk to you soon.